Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yeah, Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Well, of course, from the kitchen, it is a good Monday evening to you, and how you be at a little after 9 on this Monday evening on your Fan, New York City. Steve Summers here, you there. On the other side of the kitchen at 345 Hudson, Paulie Rosenberg. And from the 1-877-337-6666 for another 3-hour Monday schmooze right up until Sal Licata at 12 on your Fan, New York City. As previously advertised, Ian Eagle. And can I refer to you as the multimedia voice of so many teams?
Yeah, that's actually in my Wikipedia description. Multimedia voice. Steve, have you considered doing a combination sports / cooking show? Because to me, the possibilities are endless. You could a recipe at the beginning of the show.
You're
and
right.
And then you give us updates throughout on your famous Kugel. This would be tremendous radio.
Tremendous radio to you. The people running WFAN, maybe not so. Although there are other programs that I hear on the radio station that do a great deal of talking about food. So maybe your idea is solid after all.
Yeah,
I'll have to give it some thought.
Yeah, you're like a Julia Childs type. I always thought that was part of your background.
I remember her. And now it's Guy Fieri that I look at. And Carnival Eats, one of my favorite shows on the Food Network. By the way, you know why we have you on tonight. And
why is that?
We wanted to know what you thought of the Jets only having one primetime game with their upcoming schedule, and that's a Thursday night game against the Colts. So we wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, no, you always hit on the hottest topic, Steve, the real hot takes of the sports world.
Yes.
Yeah, I think you got to win some games consistently before the NFL schedule makers decide that you're a darling in the NFL for primetime window. So we'll see if Zach Wilson is the real thing. And the bottom line, as we know, is they get a do-over here when you draft a quarterback that high. That means that the GM and the head coach will be given time to see whether or not this can develop and turn into something. But ultimately, they've got to get a lot better defensively. Their offensive line has to improve. Skill position players last year probably had the worst collection of wide receivers in the league. So all of that has to get a whole lot better before the Jets start popping up on primetime games all across the NFL schedule.
Not dismissing my offbeat question, not one bit.
No, I'm not dismissive. I'm an accepting person.
Well, let me also ask you this, because the bottom line is game one was covered by ABC, and we did not hear you. Now, we should be hearing you for game number two coming up. And here's one thing we will start with the Nets. Really starting with what Brad Stevens had to say about a week ago. And in so many words, he came out with he didn't expect the Nets to end up losing. And again, an example of him being probably as honest as he could be, and maybe that's how he tries to go about motivating an undermanned and very underwhelming Boston Celtic team.
Yeah, Brad is a very smart guy. I don't think that he would say something that he's not comfortable with or look back on and regret. I think he was being honest, and maybe it was used as motivation in some way, or maybe it was used to take some heat off his team or put some added pressure on the Nets. But by the way, he was saying what most people believe. The Nets are overwhelming favorites in this round against Boston, and game one was a true indicator of why that's the case. They didn't play their A game. They didn't shoot it well. No. It took a while to get going. It was a late wake-up call, yet in the second half, they just took over the game. Start of that third quarter, it's an 18-4 run. They're doing it in every which way. And I think you will see adjustments on both sides, of course, in game two. From the Nets' point of view, a lot of ISO ball, Steve, and I don't think that's them at their best. They're at their best when James Harden is getting everybody involved and everybody's getting a touch. Defensively, I think they were pretty happy with their performance. They expect Jason Tatum to shoot the ball better than he did in game one, and Evan Fournier should shoot the ball better than he did in game one. But the bottom line is Boston just may not have the offensive firepower without Jaylen Brown to keep up with this Nets team. I'm just looking at the numbers. KD was 1 of 8 from three-point territory. Kyrie was 2 of 8 from downtown. James Harden, 2 of 8 from three-point range. That's probably not going to happen again. This team averaged 118 points during the regular season. They scored 104 in the first game of this series. I think the numbers will be closer to the 115 range when it's all said and done. And offensively, they have a chance to be really special. I'm not sure that Boston has enough answers in their arsenal to really make this a series, but there's a reason why you play the games.
Yeah, and Tatum coming off that 50-point game, he had, 22? And where was Kemba Walker? Kemba Walker looked like he wanted to be anywhere but Brooklyn, New York at the Barclays Center, because he just wasn't into it. I know he hit a couple of threes, but very late in the game during garbage time, of course, really, as you kind of point out, for the second half, it was garbage time for the Nets over the Boston Celtics. And I know Durant started off very slow, as you allude to, the whole team starting off very slow. Durant was 2 for 10. And as you point out, everybody was off overall with their shooting. Now, let me ask you this about everyone talking about the Nets. They're going to have a tough time getting into the postseason because they're not a very good defensive team. However, you do have to give them some credit. Now, again, the offensive firepower with Boston, that was lacking. Some of it bad shooting and some of it Nets defense, because Boston only had 40 points in the second half.
Yeah, so on a couple of those items, Kemba Walker, I'm not a believer that plus-minus is the end-all in NBA stats, but it is something that gives you an indicator of what a player did in the game, aside from scoring and aside from shooting. Did the team play well when he was on the floor? The team was minus 21 when Kemba Walker was in the lineup. That's hard to do. That means a team that lost by 11 overall, led by as many as 12 points in the first half, they were minus 21 when he was on the court. That's just not going to do if you're Brad Stevens and you're the Boston Celtics. And this has been an issue throughout the season. There's a reason why this team was hovering around 500. Kemba just trying to get healthy and recover from that knee injury, couldn't play back-to-backs, didn't quite have the same explosive ability. But he's very capable, and I would expect him to bounce back and play better in game two. Everything that you just talked about defensively, there's no doubt that has been a legitimate topic of conversation for the Nets throughout the season. I think it's been a little bit of a misnomer. They got much better post-All-Star break on the defensive end, much better team defense, much more together. I don't know how that will play out in the later rounds. If they advance in round two, they have to deal with Giannis Antetokounmpo And in the regular season, they had a tough time with them. And if they were ever to advance to the Eastern Conference Finals and play a team like Philadelphia, the same questions will be out there regarding Joel Embiid and how you defend him. But to me, everybody deals with those questions. Giannis is an incredible talent, and Embiid is an elite talent. Everybody that plays those teams has to deal with those question marks. The Nets are no different. I just think they've played a much better brand of team defense, and Blake Griffin has helped them immensely. He's brought hustle. He's brought grit. He's doing all the little things. He's willing to take charges. This is a guy that was a superstar in the NBA, Steve, and now he's doing those tangible things and bringing intangibles as well, because he's very well liked and has been an emerging leader in that locker room, and his affability has permeated throughout the squad.
Yeah, and I'll tell you the one Celtic, and you may know before I even mention his name who I'm talking about, who was an absolute force and the surrogate son, apparently, of Bill Russell, with Robert Williams the third, with his nine blocks, Ian, nine blocks. He had amazing. He had an amazing game with nine boards and nine blocks and 11 points in only 22 minutes. So he was the Celtic who came to play, that's for sure.
Steve, he's 6'8", but he has a 7'6 wingspan. He plays much bigger than his measurables would indicate. Mm-hmm. He's an explosive leaper. He's a tremendous rim protector, and he's a good rim runner. He's really become a pretty good offensive player in the NBA based on the fact that he's got a nose for the ball and has good instincts. It's funny. I had a bunch of Celtic games this season for TNT, and we would do these Zoom calls with the head coach. That was part of the deal. You get to meet with the head coach for 10, 15 minutes. And Brad Stevens, as I mentioned, really sharp guy. And I asked him about Robert Williams. He said, everybody thinks that he was ready-made defensively. And the reality is when they got him into training camp his rookie year from Texas A&M, he was actually much farther along offensively than he was defensively. He didn't understand the assignments. He didn't quite understand what was expected of him in rotations and switching. And it's taken a little time, but you nailed it. Anyone that watched game one could tell you that this guy was a difference maker. He's a problem for the Nets. Yeah. And that's a clear issue moving forward when you have these very aggressive, agile big men. That's been a real Achilles heel for the Nets in trying to defend those type of players throughout the season.
Watching the game, Ian, on Saturday night, and again, the big three ended up with 82 points, but they were only 11 for 32, I believe it was, in the first half. And it was only their ninth game, all three playing together. Where will we see more of an ebb and flow, more of a camaraderie with all three on the floor at the same time? Nine times is not a lot. However, they did make a difference as we played the entire four quarters, but getting off to the slow start. Did you notice anything, and did you pick up on anything, where the three of them on the floor at the same time might give you an indication that they are ready to be a unit, three going into one, as playing well together? Where do you see them making a difference in game two that they didn't make in game one?
Well, let's start with the positives. The positives in the second half, when they needed to take it to Boston, they did. KD in that third quarter, Kyrie in the fourth quarter, and Harden, by his own admission, didn't really shoot it well. He was getting accustomed, and this is him in the postgame mentioning it, to having fans in the arena. At the first time where he really experienced New York basketball fans and the expectations of the big three coming together for their first playoff game. And there was actual ambiance inside Barclays Center, and I expect the same thing tomorrow night. So the positive is when they were pushed a little bit, they pushed back and their talent took over. The negative, and something that certainly has to change for game two and beyond in the postseason, the lack of real ball movement and the isolations that we discussed earlier, the fact that Kevin Durant finished with one assist, the fact that Kyrie Irving finished with one assist. I'm not saying that they have to be in the James Harden mode of getting their teammates involved and have 8, 9, 10 assists, but they have to be more of a distributor, more of a catalyst in setting up the offense. And I think that will come. I believe that will come. Harden is the key to all of that. Everything that I've noticed is he is the engine when the three are on the floor and they're waiting for his cues. And he's still just getting back from that hamstring injury. So with each game that he plays and the confidence is raised with the physical part of the game, the mental part, he's shown me a lot this year. I, like a lot of people, would see him a couple times a year, watch him on TV in person a couple times a year, and then watch him on TV a bunch. I didn't have an appreciation for his all-around skills. In Houston, he was asked to score so much and to shoulder so much of the load. When he got settled in Brooklyn and the realization hit this team that he was going to be the point guard, the lead guard, and he was going to be the table setter, it changed everything. And everybody, whatever tension there was, everybody loosened up. And it was based on him, his attitude, the fact that he's been so vocal as a leader. I'm not sure that was expected as well. So I think he really is the key to get this thing going. If they're going to achieve the things that they believe they can achieve, James Harden's going to be right smack in the middle of this thing.
Let me ask you about Kyrie Irving, and you might have seen it recently, a feature article on him. Is he, to you, and being around him more than most people, is he, Kyrie Irving, the most misunderstood man in the NBA, or at least with the Brooklyn Nets, in professional sports? Do we not understand completely what this guy is all about?
Yeah, I know that's a strong term, and I think there is some validity to it in my own personal experience. And I do think Kyrie contributes to that. He is really a deep guy, and if you interview him and if he allowed himself to be interviewed maybe more often in a one-on-one setting, you would see that side of him. But somewhere along the line, he decided that he didn't really want to do that anymore, and he didn't feel like that he had to do that anymore. So some of it has been self-inflicted, and then other parts of it, I believe people have taken parts and chunks of a story and they've run with it. How he left Boston didn't help. Getting crushed in the Boston media didn't help. And then going MIA a number of times without any real explanation. He doesn't owe anybody an explanation, but there definitely were some issues initially on that first absence where the team wasn't quite sure what was happening, when it was happening. And then they got on the same page and things improved, and it happened again. But that time Kyrie had told the team and told Steve Nash and Sean Marks exactly what was going on. So the team was 100% in his corner, but not all of that is communicated, and it doesn't have to be. You know, we think we live in a completely transparent society, but it is pick and choose your spots. The information that the team believes is necessary to divulging to the public, that's the information that eventually gets there. And it's certainly within his right to be private and to keep things private. But sometimes he probably could save himself in terms of the persona if he was willing to be a little more open about certain things. But that's his choice. My personal dealings with him have been terrific. He grew up a Nets fan, a real true blue Nets fan. So he'd been watching the broadcast during the formative years, becoming a basketball fan, and then continued to follow even into his NBA years. On a personal level, it's been all positive. And oftentimes you have to try to articulate to people what you've experienced and not what the perception is. I think Kyrie is a really talented guy. From a play-by-play standpoint, it's been some of the most fun I've had calling games, because you never know what he's going to do. You never know what move he's going to break out. And it's a move that is indigenous to him. Only he can do it. That's what's blown my mind. I've called great individual players in Net uniforms like Jason Kidd and Vince Carter and RJ and Kenyon Martin, that whole team was so much fun. This guy is dazzling, and the moves are eye-popping.
Yeah.
And I'm just thrilled putting the headset on, truly, because the creativity, that elicits creative juices from the broadcast side. So my hope is it all comes together, and this team can truly go on a run, and maybe some of the other stuff ends up getting pushed to the side, and his talent and his skill and his execution level begin to take center stage on the biggest stage, which would be an NBA championship.
Yeah, you talk about a guy that if he wants to get the shot off, he's getting it off. The moves are magical, and
yes,
there's no question. Your operative word in describing his play, that word applies, and that word is dazzling, and he is certainly that. It's a good thing, Ian, that he doesn't have a bigger family. Otherwise, there'd be more birthday parties for him to go to. And you know, as long as he lets the team know, or, you know, Sean Marks,
yes,
or, you know, I guess the first time with the sister's birthday, and one other time I think he was going to either a political rally or show up and support at some kind of a fundraiser event for somebody running for district,
yes,
attorney in Manhattan. So if he lets the team know, I think that there's no issue. But obviously, if he doesn't show up for a game and nobody knows where he is, then obviously it becomes a story. And maybe that's what you mean when you say that some of what he creates in terms of miscommunication or misunderstanding is,
correct,
something that he creates on his own for maybe not being more open than he should be. But he's an amazing, amazing player. Are you thinking sweep here, Ian, with three more games with Boston and then on to Milwaukee most likely?
Yeah, I mean, Steve, you know, I don't pick. I don't pick my nose. I don't pick the games. Mm-hmm. But I think you can see from game one where this is headed. Can the Celtics win a game on their home floor with the fans juiced up, Kyrie dealing with that kind of derision and drama in a playoff series? Yeah, absolutely. Celtics have talent. They can win a game. They could win two games. It's very possible. But if the Nets play at the level that they're capable, it's going to be very difficult for the Celtics to beat this team four times, and even into the later rounds. Milwaukee right now is playing outstanding basketball. We know Philadelphia has got a lot of talent. You're still going to have to go out and outscore the Nets four times in seven games, mm-hmm, a team that is capable of putting up big, big offensive numbers. To me, that's really what it comes down to. Do you have the kind of firepower, or are you just an elite defensive team, top level, that you can stymie these guys in a series? That's the kind of question that will be posed as this gets deeper into the playoffs and the stakes get higher.
And they didn't play an entire four quarters, starting off as slow as they did, and still won by 11 points. I guess they're going to try. It'll be interesting to see what Robert Williams III does with trying to keep him off the boards and away from any net taking a shot. He was incredible. But Tatum has to show up, and Kemba Walker as well. Marcus Smart as well. I know he had about 17 or so. But nonetheless, the Nets are so much better, and then they're not even all together as one for the entire four quarters and still win by 11. So how do you go about rehearsing for your game coming up?
Rehearsing? I like to go into the shower, good acoustics, and just do random calls until something really speaks to me. That's been my process over the years, Steve.
And you're just the best, and I've said this many times on the air when you haven't been with us, and that is that over the years, nobody in the newsroom, off the air and on the air, the sense of humor comes through, that's for sure. But I don't think there's anyone in the history of WFAN who could hold an audience the way you could in the newsroom, in the bullpen, telling stories about yourself, about your family, about about all the incidents that you've been through with sports, and you would at least bring a very wide smile to everyone's face, if not a hearty laugh. So we miss that from you, but we like to know that you got your start at WFAN, and look at what you have taken with you from your days at WFAN. I'm sure that you and your family count the blessings every single day.
Steve, I would be more than happy to make an appearance in your kitchen if you believe that would brighten your day. If you want me to make you an omelet, I'll do that, whatever it takes. I want to keep the friendship going. I'm not doing holiday cards anymore. Our kids got too old. I don't want you to think you're no longer on the list. We just don't do it. At some point, it's creepy if you send a holiday card with your adult children. It just doesn't work.
Well, I think I'm still getting them when they were still, like, you know. I'll tell you what I'm very good at in the kitchen is making pancakes. You're more than welcome to come over for pancakes. They would rival IHOP anytime, especially the blueberry pancakes, where you put in lots and lots of blueberries as that dough is settling on the grill. So you're more than welcome anytime.
Steve, I've never had a blueberry in my life. I'm not going to start now. It's never passed through my lips.
Are you serious?
100% true. I'm not kidding. Never had a blueberry in my life.
How about strawberries?
No.
You're not into fruit or berries?
No, I think it's a fad. I don't think it's going to stick around.
Okay. I am a pleasure having you. And
Steve, you're the best. The best, truly.
Yeah, at what, really, when you stop and think about it?
Well, I'm not saying on a ranking system, but just for right now.
That's right. In the power rankings, I might be somewhere near the bottom of that list is what you might be saying.
Never. You're always at the top, my friend.
Oh, sure.
Great talking to you.
All right. Thanks a lot for a half hour here, Ian, and have fun with the Nets the rest of the way.
When does the interview start, Steve?
Well, how about 10:05? we can start. We
just
can
call
start
me
doing
back.
It over.
We'll do the same exact thing.
In fact, Steve, we may because of this interview, I may have to replay the interview at 10:05. Anyway, I hope we have a chance to talk again soon. I think you used to say when we first had you on at the very end, and only with your delivery, lose my number. And very well done.
Yeah,
and,
but seriously, Steve, if you could, lose my number.
Yes, we will. Okay. Anyway, Ian, do take care. Have fun with the Nets for sure.
All the best, bud. Thank you.
And you too, to you and your family.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.